morning, everyone. It's great to be here and to be part of what I think will be an exciting session, and thank you for staying to the end of APHA being part of this session. I have no financial relationships of pertinence to this discussion that I need to disclose, so I wanted you to be aware of this. So CPPW really started with in February of 2009 when President Obama signed the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. And when he did that, there was language that said that what we wanted was that Congress asked, in the legislation stated that part of what the community program, thank you, should do is carry out evidence-based clinical and community-based prevention and wellness strategies that deliver specific measurable health outcomes that address chronic disease rates. And so that was sort of the mandate. But I think it's important for you all to realize that the community component is part of a larger component around prevention and wellness, and there was about $1 billion that went to CDC and other HHS agencies around prevention and wellness. And so there was $300 million that went to CDC for immunizations. There was $50 million that went to CDC to combat hospital-acquired infections. And the lion's share of the dollars, $650 million, went to communities putting prevention to work, and really to promote nutrition and physical activity and anti-tobacco initiatives. And the total for this amount was approximately $650 million. When you look at how that $650 million get divided out, there are several components that are part of this. And so there was about $32 million that went to the Administration on Aging, and they are funding state-based activities around chronic disease self-management, and 48 of the 50 states are doing work around chronic disease self-management. There is $10 million that's going to 10 different national organizations. Each national organization is getting $1 million to spend over 2 years. Seven of those national organizations are focused on obesity, and three of them are focused on tobacco. And those three are the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Lung Association, and the Society for Public Health Education. And those national organizations are expected to provide technical assistance and are part of the technical assistance network that we have for the communities. There's $30 million also for a national media campaign that's part of CPPW. And then there's $128 million that's going to the states, and Michael and his section will talk about how those dollars are being used specifically around tobacco. And then there's about $450 million that's going to local communities to do work. In March of this year, we funded a total of 44 communities. We actually put out about $373 million. The project period for these communities is 24 months. So they've really got to get on the board and start doing their work very quickly. It turns out that 23 of the communities are focused on obesity, 14 are focused only on tobacco, and then we've got seven communities that are what we call dual communities that are focused both on obesity and on tobacco. So if you look at, if you include the seven dual plus the 14 tobacco-only communities, there are a total of 21 communities out of the 44 that are focused specifically on tobacco-related issues. In addition to that, there's about $76 million that we're putting out that's helping us to evaluate what the communities putting prevention workers doing, and also to do technical assistance with the communities. This is a map here that shows all the 44 communities across the country and whether they're focused on tobacco, which are shown in the orange, and also the dual communities, which are shown in blue. I should note that we are funding, basically funding levels differ depending on the type of community supported. So the highest funding level goes to large cities. These are cities that have a population over a million. And then we've got urban area, urban areas, which are cities that have populations between 500,000 and 1 million. And then we've got smaller cities, and these are funded basically through state health departments. And then we also fund tribes. So funding levels over the 24 months range from approximately $350,000 to some of our smaller tribes, up to approximately $12 million that went to some of the larger urban areas across the country. The goals for our tobacco communities are to decrease the prevalence of smoking, to decrease teen smoking initiation, to decrease exposure to secondhand smoke, and the way we do this is largely through policy systems and environmental change strategies. We have what we call our MAP strategies, and I'll give you a couple of examples of what our communities are doing in terms of MAP strategies, and you'll also hear this from the folks in Austin in just a minute. But really, we want the communities to have a comprehensive program as it relates to tobacco and also obesity prevention. And so communities are expected to do work around media, particularly hard-hitting media, work around access and decreasing access to things like secondhand smoke, point of purchase and promotion prompting, pricing, and then social support, which would be things like relaying people who smoke to quit lines and things like that. In terms of what CDC does and sort of what we're trying to do, because the project period is so short, only 24 months, what we are really trying to do is make sure that the communities have as much support as they can so that they can make good progress within the next 24 months. So we have a number of activities around technical assistance, including group training events. We also do a lot in terms of individual consultation with the communities. We have a network of technical experts and organizations that provide technical assistance to the communities as well. So all of that is part of really giving the communities as much support as we can so that we can see success at the end of the project period. Out of the 21 tobacco communities that were funded, there are 11 communities that don't have comprehensive smoke-free air policies in their community. And so one of our high performance goals is that we want between now and September 2011 for 75% of these communities to implement comprehensive smoke-free air policies in the community, which I think is a really high order to get to. But we're doing a lot of work specifically with these 11 communities in September. In Atlanta, we actually had a meeting where these 11 communities came together, and we actually provided technical assistance to them. We're doing a lot in terms of individual TA to these 11 communities as well. I'll give you a couple of examples of what the communities are doing in Los Angeles County, where there are some over 60 different jurisdictions within the county. They're working to make ensure that at least 11 of cities within the county adopt and enact a comprehensive smoke-free outdoor air policy. Again, using usage bans, hard-hitting counter-advertising, and also making sure that they refer people in the community who smoke to quit lines and other cessation services. In Southern Nevada, they're interested in implementing a tobacco retailer licensing program and would suspend the license for any retailers that sell tobacco products to minors, example. In Ringgold County, Iowa, for example, they are interested in approving a policy that would ban free tobacco products and other tobacco-related giveaways at the Iowa State Fair. And the other thing that I think is the other really neat activity, I talked about those 11 communities across the country that are implementing tobacco-free policies. One of those was St. Louis County. And already the city of Brentwood, which is in St. Louis County, has implemented a comprehensive clean air ordinance already. So even after just 6 months of funding, we're already seeing the CPPW communities implement some of these tobacco-free policies. So we're seeing some successes relatively quickly.